Welcome to Plot Chat, an episodic series. No, we're not really. I mean, I guess we are.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're a podcast.
Do you know what episodic means?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's early in the morning. You may realize, hey, there's only three of them. Bren yet again calls out of another episode of Plot Chat.
Reliable.
Night, dude, he was going to work on talent last night, though. Bren in the mid lane's a problem. We've got him off the Yas. He's doing good now.
Between midnight and 4 a.m., that's when you get the
my
dubs.
My boy Kurt over there, yo, killing it in the jungle.
No, my Yumi is not something to be sniffed at. I mean, Yumi's excellent.
As someone who doesn't play League, it feels like you guys are making up words. Josh it's is, like, oh, my Yasuo and my Yumi.
Josh's
and
Yumi
and
is
Grapple Crank. Like, and he's just
watching Josh play Yumi and League of Legends is like offensive to not just people who play League of Legends, but it's offensive to anyone who plays games at like a competent level. No, it is.
It's not that bad. My Yumi actually slaps.
Half the time you come out of the spawn, you're like, oh, I didn't buy any items. And then you have to go, oh, I need to walk all the way back. Like,
it's exactly as good as my
Overwatch. This is Overwatch, by the way. We just haven't started yet.
So I know this is Foreheads, but you said episodic. And I was just like, what if there's someone out there just like waiting five episodes and then they binge Plot Chat? Just like a TV show?
Yeah, they might.
That doesn't make any sense, though.
Why don't you release Plot Chat one episode a week? Why not just release all of them at once?
Probably the worst way.
Here's 30 episodes in the future.
You would just be learning about things that have already happened years ago.
Yeah, like you would watch the first episode, but by the time you watch like the fifth one, like the things that happened in the first are just doesn't matter anymore.
There's no point anymore.
I mean, whatever, but...
Going to be learning about Ahan joining the Outlaw.
Look, someone's out there doesn't get it.
There is some news in Overwatch this week. Hasn't been like a crazy week, but we did miss last week. I believe we had some other stuff going on, World Cup stuff and whatnot. So we'll recap the stuff from last week, but we did have a subscriber tournament on the PTR this week, which Josh rigged and ended up winning.
Rigged?
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm sick of these accusations of cheating. He didn't look
into his teammates.
I did.
Everyone was supposed to be a 3 KSR.
They were.
Me and Johnny, I mean, if you're, I was going to say sub to Johnny, but don't do that. I mean, if you're going to sub to anybody, sub to me, I rotated my subs in and out.
Well,
I was a nice
that's what
guy.
You and me did. We got a bunch of community people in. Yeah. We like on some of our
on the other
subs.
Hand. Holds owl caliber tryouts.
6 hours of trials.
Trying to get like birth certificates from these people, check ages, make sure everybody's eligible.
Here's your
W-8. Sending out like prize claim forms. And he rigged the whole thing. But
I won.
It was fun to play on the PTR. What do you guys think?
It isn't that different.
It's not. Oh. That's sad. That's sad to say.
We're not the best representatives.
No. But
that's very true.
We are not the best representatives. I will agree with that. But I still felt oppressed by the Reinhardt Orisa double shield.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, sure, Orisa's shield is weaker or whatnot, but she's like, with the armor changes plus fortify and the ability to like just become like... Reinhardt just runs in and swings, and then he just gets an Orisa shield. He just stands on the other side of it and just swings.
Well, the way to look at Orisa is almost like she's the best off tank, which sounds dumb.
I don't think people will play Ryan Orisa. Though.
No.
I think they'll still play Orisa Sigma because Sigma's damage is just still ridiculous.
In the Pro Pogs, apparently they played some Ryan Orisa.
Yeah.
But apparently some coaches are also like, the players are dumb. You shouldn't trust them.
I've seen a ton of like Mei Hanzo like in serious situations.
Yeah, I've heard
PTR,
that too. Yeah.
Like Mei Hanzo, like, I mean, are we just going to end up going back to what we had with like
Stage
Orisa
4.
Hog, Mei, like the ice fishing type
I feel like it's going to be exactly the same, except no Roadhog. You're just going to have Sigma because Sigma has a shield and incredible poke.
And it'll be like halts plus accretion combos and just
knock it was fairly
down.
Entertaining, but I don't know. I think the game's in a weird spot now that they've added so many heroes. Like, it was easier to balance before when the pick heroes were much squishier.
Yeah.
But now that Hanzo is crazy powerful because they buffed him super hard to be able to deal with tanks, and then they kind of buffed him to deal with the loss of his scatter arrow, and now he's just crazy, and so you have to run the Batiste, otherwise the Hanzo murders everyone.
It's interesting though, because with the way like the heroes have come out and like been designed and whatnot, it's funny, we kind of joke about like League at the beginning, but like League of Legends, right? Like one of your heroes gets banned or removed, there's like a few heroes who kind of do like similar things.
Yeah.
Where Overwatch has gone like the complete opposite route in terms of like adding new heroes and like, let's not borrow from somebody's kit and create somebody who's like an alternative to Reinhardt, right? Who has a static shield who can run but has different utility, different ultimate.
Yeah. I had a Twitter thread with Costa about Hero Bands.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. And that was essentially the argument I was making. And that, like, Hero Bands, I think that topic deserves like a separate plat chat in itself. Probably not plat chat, because I don't want to argue with Brendan Matt about it.
Well,
but
it deserves a refute. I don't read your Twitter. I don't look at Twitter. No, but what was your opinion on it?
Well, my opinion is just like, we need more heroes. So essentially, hero bans should serve as a purpose to ban unbalanced heroes. Like, for example, I think you should, like, if hero bans were allowed now, I would ban like Baptiste.
See, I feel
and that
like
would
that's
be viable
just...
because I think Baptiste is sort of like busted with his immortality field, but there's other heroes that can sort of like fill his shoes, you know. But for tanks, you don't really have that.
I agree. Oh, so what? Are you in favor of the hero bans or
not? No, I'm not in favor of hero bans.
Okay, so we agree.
Because I think we need, like, that's essentially what you were saying. And I'm like, yeah, I agree.
So we agree. Like, I don't think hero bans should be a thing either right now.
No.
Because...
5 to 10 more heroes, maybe.
Yeah, if we're doing hero bans to just ban heroes that are just overpowered to change it to what you want, that's not really a great...
Yeah.
intention. Like, at that point, just fix those heroes or just adjust those heroes.
Yeah.
Like, not just create a whole new system to just get rid of them.
Yeah, one more thing. The perfect example, I think, in which should be the case for every hero, is like Genji and Doomfist. They do sort of like the same thing. They have a different kit, but they serve like a similar purpose. Yeah. And so you're like, oh, if Genji is by far the best hero in the game, which it probably never will be again, then you can ban Genji. But a team can still be like, oh, we want to dive. We'll just pick Doomfist instead. Like, you can't really ban Reinhardt and be like, we can't really do the same thing as Reinhardt. It doesn't...
Like, the idea of hero ban should be like, oh, we're playing against Team Sideshow. He's really good on Zenyatta. Let's get Zenyatta out of the game. It shouldn't be like, oh, both teams don't want to play Orisa Sigma. You guys ban Orisa, I ban Sigma, and everybody gets happy. Yeah, like, that's not really like... It doesn't really serve the purpose.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say probably would be good with hero bans now... is that they would get tons of data on what people want to play and then what people do not want to play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I think they kind of probably have that.
I think they read into
really for
the,
sure.
I think they read into what's being played as what people want to play, but people feel forced to play certain things.
Right.
Like they might see, oh, a lot of people are playing Orisa. Orisa must be in a nice place. And they're like,
and I'll still stand by it. Like, I find being forced to play Orisa worse than it was being forced to play Mercy.
Yeah.
Like, I was much more willing to play Mercy when she was super good.
Yeah.
Then
I actually quite like
Orisa.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Feels like a good hero to play, in my opinion, after they made tweaks to her kit, because there are interactive ways to be able to move around your team and be able to do different things. Orisa is very much like a, I suppose it's not as static as it used to be.
Yeah.
They've made changes on the PTR. Here's the other thing though, about the hero ban topic. I think people have looked at the hero ban stuff and gone too far with like immediately to bans. When you look at a lot of games that actually have hero bans, the most important difference for me is you can't mirror match. You actually just can't.
Yeah.
Like in MOBAs, you can't, in the competitive format anyway, you can't pick the same hero on both teams.
That's a good argument.
That, to me, is the fundamental difference, not the fact that there's bans involved. If there were enough heroes in the game so that you couldn't play mirror matches, that would be a very interesting and very totally different game of
Then it becomes a way...
It's just a different game.
Topic,
but like it's
hero bans.
It wouldn't even be implementable in Overwatch, I think, like the idea of not being able to pick. Because say like you attack with dive and the other team has like a certain setup, like, okay, you go to switch to something, but they just switch to it, so now you can't play.
League and Dota, the maps are symmetrical.
I also feel like...
And also you just
like,
pick a hero for the whole game.
On King's Row versus attacking King's Row, it's like very different.
I feel like as well that I'm a big fan of like if the game you're going to broadcast is played a certain way, like you should be playing that or as close to you can get to at home. And with Overwatch, like it takes a while to find games sometimes. And then I think if you added a ban process to that, I think it just creates a barrier to entry that's just way too long for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if a DPS player waited like 8 minutes for a game and then someone just like, oh, I'm going to waste my hero ban on Torb. She's like, what? you just ruined the game.
And then you have a toxic environment before the game even began.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
One last thing on hero bans before we move on. I feel like it's an expedient solution for a lot of people.
It's a band-aid solution.
It's a band-aid expedient solution to bad metas. But what they fail to recognize is that it also is detrimental to good metas. Because imagine you have a good meta... Oh, and you have hero bans. Well, you're ruining the good meta. You're removing the good meta by being able to ban the good heroes that people enjoy, like Tracer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, if you start banning Tracer, then people are going to be like, oh, you know, well, I can't play good meta because of hero bans. So they fail to realize that because they're just short-sighted. They're like, oh, I don't want to play Orisa Sigma. Let's do hero bans.
Well, there'll be one team that gets really good at Orisa Sigma and then just bans Reinhardt and Winston and something like that. And then now the other team's like, well, crap, now what are we going to do? Play D.Va, Roadhog in like some weird kind of composition? Let's just play Orisa Sigma.
Let's imagine if Overwatch League Season 1, Widowmaker, Tracer meta. Let's imagine we had hero bans. You ban Widowmaker, you ban Tracer. The meta is, you know, by community standards, worse because of hero bans.
Right.
So that's just my final point on hero bans.
Yeah. The best metas in the game were when half the cast was unplayably bad. Like they actually were. Well, like the best metas were where you just couldn't play Orisa because she was trash. And like you just couldn't play Roadhog because he was like trash.
I actually think if 2-2-2 was instituted way earlier in the whole game, like life cycle, that a lot of the heroes released probably wouldn't have been as overpowered on release, and you could have balanced them better to be parts of the overall game. I think the issue was is like, I think healing has become like way too strong, like across the board. And then I think just the survivability of heroes, like every hero seems to have like a get out of jail free type of card where like you, whether it be a movement ability, damage mitigation, something along those lines. It's kind of like World of Warcraft. Where like all of a sudden everybody had everything. Like,
good game. Oh,
World of Warcraft is phenomenal. Yeah. But like after a while, everybody had everything, right? So now it kind of like you hear, and I think you go look at like, go play Soldier 76 for like 15 minutes, and then go play like
it's tragic,
and then go play like one of the new heroes that they've released, and you can, but you can see like the evolution, like where they've gone, right?
And Soldier really hasn't been changed since he was good.
But like, what he needs, like what he needs, like a whole kit like redone.
Except
like,
he doesn't. He should. I think. I mean, he should just be used as a measuring stick to scale everything else back. I think.
Just yeah. I feel like. Well, remember. I think they always said that like Tracer was kind of like the control of the game. Like everything kind of balanced around. Like,
Well, good lord, she is just Tracer, poo-poo level now.
Soldier should probably be that barometer. Like,
yeah, I mean, Soldier or Tracer, they're both garbage at the moment, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but
if Soldier's
never
ultimate
feel
is good, then you're in a good
balance. Well, yeah, I think... Well, no, I think the way it should be is, like, if somebody selects Soldier, that is a hero that, like, maybe I don't feel fantastic about it, but not, like, it shouldn't feel like a throw pick.
Yeah.
Like,
Locking the legs is definitely a throw pick at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you should never feel like Soldier is the worst hero to have, but you should never feel like he's the best.
Yeah.
Like, there should be better options.
And I think universally, Soldier is a pretty well-liked hero in the community. It's like, a lot of people think he's like cheap or whatever, you know, like he's a Call of Duty character kind of thing.
Dude, that's
but
why
I think
Mike,
a lot of people
that's
like
why
him.
Matt likes
him.
Yeah,
exactly. Dude, yeah, bring Soldier 76 back.
But I looked
take
at
off no hero limit, Soldier 76.
They posted some cool charts on competitive Overwatch, which was like the distribution of hero picks, like in the different ranks. So like, if you look at that, like look at bronze, silver,
I
gold, plat.
Yeah.
So, essentially, it showed it like, oh, Grandmaster, people play Sigma. At Diamond, people don't really play Sigma at all. It's like, even like Reaper was weird. Like in Grandmaster, a ton of people play Reaper because it's meta. Plat, Gold, people don't really play Reaper.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to make was that a lot of people in Bronze, Silver, Gold, Plat, they actually play a lot of Soldier because they just think he's a pretty cool hero. You know, the kit is easy to play. But then as he goes, it's like Grandmaster, no one plays him because he's just so out of favor.
And I think that's the... It's the toughest part with, I think, just balancing games in general nowadays is that, like, your top, you know, 5-10% is your vocal majority, but they are so far from the majority, and everybody else is playing something that's, like Plat, I think I saw the same thing. They're playing, like, a ton of, like, Ryan's Aria. They're just, like, they're playing whatever.
But
they're playing
in my opinion, they will continue to play whatever the fuck, no matter what. Like,
that's true.
If the game was properly balanced for the top level, you would still see random chaos throughout everywhere else.
When,
so
when
you might as well try and fix it.
Yeah, when GOATS was a thing, there, like Plat in that level, like we rarely saw GOATS.
Yeah, I mean, people would be like, "Oh, play goats, come on, bro."
Yeah, but they don't know. They don't know what the hell they were doing. Yeah, they were just selecting the heroes and running around. I mean, it wasn't
goats.
Yeah,
it was you were playing the heroes, but you weren't playing goats.
But I think the point being was
let's play NBA and just go to the park.
Everyone like bronze to plat. They just play the game for fun, and so you get a pretty good sense of what they consider fun. So, like, if they don't play a ton of Symmetra, that probably indicates that, you know, she's not the most fun here to play.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't... I don't think the difference between bronze and silver and Grandmaster should be that big, where it's like no one plays Sigma in bronze and everyone plays Sigma in Grandmaster. Because then I think you're separating the fun aspect of Overwatch and the people having fun and the competitive side where people are forced to play heroes because they're good. And I think maybe you should look at like bronze to silver. I mean, I'm not a game designer. I don't know how to interpret these numbers, but I'm just saying that would make sense to me if you took the players who have fun playing the game and you made those heroes pretty reasonably good at the game, because then you make it a fun competitive game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it just kind of comes down to as simple as like, I think you need to figure out how you balance the tanks without making them so oppressive to like the damage dealers and everybody else. Because I think one of the worst feelings, especially when you're playing a shooting game, is clearly aiming at somebody, clearly shooting them, and nothing happening.
Yeah.
That, like, it is one of the more unsatisfactory feelings, I think, that you can get. And it's the same type of thing with, like, I mean, I guess, like, this is probably the best example from Call of Duty you could have, just thinking off the top of my head. It's like a spawn shield, right? Like, Call of Duty, like, they prevent spawn killing, like,
right, pubs. Yeah.
They would, like, you'd have, like, a 3-second spawn shield coming out of the spawn. And nothing felt worse than being on like a massive kill spree, and then all of a sudden you see a guy pop up, he's running at you, you shoot him, you have your aimer on him, you shoot him, and nothing happens. And then little Timmy looks down his sight and just auto aim takes over, and he kills you because he's invulnerable. That blows. And I think we have a decent amount of that in Overwatch right now, where you have a lot of shielding. You have immortality, right? There's a lot to like keep people alive. Yeah. That it becomes difficult sometimes to play a damage dealer, because you're like, okay, well, I just need to just keep shooting at this until they don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Then maybe I have the chance to do something. Like, it just feels
kind of.
It actually almost feels kind of like slow at times. But then I also get the point that you can't just have damage dealers just blowing tanks up.
Like, but also, I liked the way that, I mean, you were saying before, like, Soldier, right? And how you made him successful. And he used to play into D.Va a lot. And D.Va would be the thing that was trying to counter him. But you have to fly into his face and, like, remove yourself from the rest of the team.
Yeah.
You have to really, like, shut him down to be able to do that. Now with Sigma, you just go, like, and you just put a little shield up.
Well, just think about it. I mean, why?
Or immortality.
Yeah, shield. I mean, it's
And you
just
don't move. You don't actually, you don't get any value.
Well, I think, like, one of the things, like, we talk about, like, where you said D.Va's, like, a hard counter, like, to Soldier, right? When he was played. And you have so many damage dealers, right? That you're like, oh, like, what are, like, hard counters to certain damage dealers and whatnot? Just throw shields at them.
Yeah.
Just make them shoot your shields.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, once the shields are gone, throw down immortality and throw down more
immortality shields. Field is not a fun ability.
But that's
I think we should nerf immortality.
But that's why it becomes,
it's actually busted.
It slows down the game.
We knew as soon as it was in the game that it was busted.
Yeah.
There have been so many busted things in the game that you have to get rid of them to be able to see it.
That's why, though, like, that's why I think when, like, you see the metas turn out and you're like, ah, oh, May Reaper, how the hell did we get here? It's like, well, because none of the long range heroes are doing anything. Everyone just sat around their shields and their Baptiste, or with immortality, or let's say Moira, right, to play close together. So let's just play them in the neutral and just play this close quarter game where, hey, we got that guy a little weak, let's speed boost past this thing, or we walled them off and just mow him down with the Reaper. But I don't know. I'm very, I think the PTR patch is a step in the right direction, a big step in the right direction. I just don't know if it's going to, I'm very interested to see what the pro meta turns out to be.
Well, people are saying Mei Hanzo.
Hanzo. I want to see it first before I believe it.
I like the PTR patch in some instances, but also the buff to Batiste damage as well is just, and some of the other changes, like,
the PTR patch would have been fine if they didn't buff armor. If armor didn't
Well,
get
Baptiste
that,
doesn't contribute to armor.
No, but I'm
so
saying with
matter.
the Orisa though, stuff. The tanks though.
Oh.
With like Rein and Orisa, like,
yeah. Some of the changes are weird. Some of them were good, some of them are weird. I think we're still, tell you what else is busted. Sombra is still busted. Once we get rid of all of the other dumb stuff in the game, you'll realize that Sombra's busted still as well. As soon as you remove the ability for all of the shields to be in place, you can still just run Sombra farming MPs, 20-second AMPs.
Yeah, I mean, what? I guess
as soon as she can get value, as soon as any DPS can get value, Sombra will get crazy value.
Sure, but they also buffed armor, and Brig is pretty good. So we'll see how that shapes out.
Yeah, I mean, you could just have impenetrable armor. Yeah, where Tracer and Sombra aren't playable.
The ideal solution would be if it was viable to play Sombra and also viable to play McCree.
Brig. I love the Brig just loads up two armor packs on a Tracer and she just goes in there and just starts to just clean up. Mike, sweet.
That would be lovely. Any Brigs?
Well, because then you
any Brigs want to play? Any Brigs want to play?
Yeah.
Good talk. That'll be. We don't know when it's actually coming to life. They haven't said anything yet, but it's been on the PTR for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty concerned. I'm gonna send an email to somebody.
I think they'll probably put it on live and probably like.
Well, they're not gonna do updates after the Christmas update, surely. I mean, they let the Christmas update be all of December, and then maybe they'll make an adjustment in like January.
This patch is the Christmas update, you would think.
Well, yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd assume that this one is the Christmas one.
I don't think they'd release balance changes 1 week before the Christmas. I don't even know when the Christmas patch is usually dropped, but I'm assuming this start of December.
It's not this week because of Thanksgiving, but yeah, next week's what? The start of December?
Yeah.
So maybe next week.
Actually, it might be like, I think in the past, maybe it's been middle of December.
When did it?
Because I remember, okay, this is not the best sample size, but when I was playing in 2016, it dropped during I Am Gyeonggi. The Christmas patch dropped during I Am Gyeonggi was mid-December.
I Am Gyeonggi was, wasn't that not December the 9th?
Oh, maybe it was, yeah. Because I just remember Manhattan in Misfits. He was just, he bought like 100 loot boxes. He's just like, I'm getting all the skins. I'm going to buy all of these skins.
You got to think as well, we're only really one other PTR. Well, we're only one other big patch away from the Overwatch League next season.
Yeah, probably. So that's what I'm thinking. Okay, so like, hypothetically, let's say next meta, this PTR meta is Mei, Hanzo, Baptiste.
And then basically like, stage 4 again.
And then you have... let's say one more big balance update before a war.
Johnny
starts.
Was right. So this is Winter Wonderland in 2016 started December 13th.
Hey!
2017 started December 12th. And then in 2018 started December 11th. So,
okay, no, I'm hoping they drop it earlier.
Within a three-day cycle of each other.
I don't want to wait 3 more weeks for it to drop.
That'd be brutal. But then you're looking at December 10th, which is like a Tuesday. So,
yeah.
I mean, or the 1st or the 10th. Yeah.
Was that 2 weeks from now?
The 17th. Yeah, 2 weeks from now. It still feels like a long time, though.
Yeah.
But I guess they are major changes. They want to make sure everything's all good to go.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. I would also not be surprised if they maybe made like one final adjustment patch on the PTR. So that's why I'm thinking giving feedback now is like the best thing you can do.
Yeah, maybe like...
Because this is the one chance you... Or not the one chance, but it's a chance
for
you to...
It's the only chance.
It's a chance for you to give feedback and like get those threads up on competitive Overwatch. Just like, what do you think about this?
Well, get them up on the
last
Overwatch
week,
subreddit as well.
Yeah. Well, they're going to downvote it, so it doesn't matter.
No,
they still play the game.
Yeah, don't the Overwatch subreddit talk about balance?
Yeah.
I really don't go to my Twitch chat a lot.
Really? Yeah.
My Twitch chat said that the people on our Overwatch were upset about the shield changes.
Well, I mean, that's your Twitch chat. I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Well, they were just the messengers.
Not to say anything bad about Johnny's Twitch chat.
Because
what happened was they nerfed Orisa and all of these plebeians on our Overwatch were just like... They're just like, oh, you're nerfing my horse. My horse robot needs to be meta. What are you doing? But they don't realize that she's actually still super strong.
Yeah, but I think that's with any hero, though. Like, there are so many people that are, like, just really attached to the heroes and passionate about them that any hero gets touched. I mean, they don't like...
I probably shouldn't alienate some
after. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Johnny can do that. Me and John.
No, if you listen to Plat Chat, you're one of the good guys.
Yeah.
Or good girls.
Yeah, if you listen to Plat Chat,
the good
and you're from our Overwatch, just mute whenever Johnny speaks. And whenever we're on a shot of one of us, just unmute.
That would be a lot of effort. I'd admire that.
And then you'll get the
offer.
Content that you deserve.
Someone just pressing mute and unmute, like every time they see me open my mouth, that'd be.
What did we think? We haven't done an episode since the Mercy Recall Challenge. So you can watch, get the drops, get the sprays, win
they added
games,
drops to all
skins.
Streams.
Yes,
right? That's the big change that they did. You avoid the controversy.
What do you think of the concept, though?
Well, they still have certain streamers they picked out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they get like promotion.
They've done like a promotion with Samsung about SSDs or something.
Right. I don't know.
So there's like a handpicked 10 streamers, and you're not one of them. So don't worry.
No. There was a large boost of viewership. Yeah? I mean, that's the only thing that I know is that there was an enormous boost to Overwatch.
But do you
viewership.
Like the, like, hey, like for me, I think it's great. Like I love the idea of getting the drops on everybody's streams. That's a huge win for just the Overwatch community as a whole. I would like something besides just win 9 games and get the skin, but I just don't know what kind of challenges you can do, right? Because you don't want to limit the challenges to said hero, because it becomes difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you could. That's definitely a way to spice up the game, though, isn't it? To say, like...
They should do... I got it.
Hey, win a game.
Win 9 games. Like, they should do a thing for ranked, right? Where... if you win 9 games as a tank, you get some kind of special skin for one of the tanks. If you do it as a DPS, you get a special skin for one of the DPS and then one of the supports. That'd be a cool challenge.
It'd be like a quest, like in Hearthstone. Yeah. Just like you log in and every day you get a quest, but then you can pick, like, I'm picking a tank quest, picking a DPS quest or a support quest.
We need skins that evolve over how many wins you get with that skin.
That would be sick.
Mm. That would be cool.
Yeah. My idea about doing, like, for a mercy, actually having a mercy quest, that's a Papega idea.
It'd have to be a broad thing, just like you have to heal, you have to rest, and you have to.
Yeah, but that's why. I mean, literally, even if it was just win a game as mercy, people would get so tilted at their mercy players.
Say it was something that was off meta. Yeah, there would be so many people just queuing for support and so many people just fighting over mercy. That would create a mega toxic.
Imagine if it was like, let me try. Imagine if it was like, oh man, there isn't.
That's why I left mine to a general role, right? Because I can win 9 games on any of the tanks and get a tank skin.
Imagine if it was a Genji skin and you got people running into your games and insta-locking Genji. You're like, why are you dumping my SR? Get out of here.
Both teams have a Genji that neither team wants. They're all feeding like crazy.
It would be kind of fun, but people would get so tilted.
It would have to be something that's quick play only.
Yeah, probably.
It would have to be something that's quick play only, but not cool that they're giving out the drops to everybody. Johnny with an absolutely Papega take.
I think it'd just be hilarious to just like people, pro players queuing rank in like Grandmasters top 500 and just get like Genji players and they're like, it's the worst hero in the game. We're losing every game. You like lose 5 games.
But I got to win for my skin.
I just want my skin, dude. Just like... Well, here's your meta shake up, and it's like, but we lose every game.
How do we shake the meta up? Yeah. Exclusive skins for heroes that nobody wants to play.
If both teams have a Genji, then you're equally likely to win, right?
Well, no.
Yeah, but if I see a Genji, you're all just equally. I'm like, I just want my SR.
Yeah, I will farm you.
The only way you could do one for that is if you did it and it accounted for, let's say Johnny played Mercy and got like the resurrections, accounted for everybody on the team. But then that defeats the entire purpose of doing the quest.
I think we should just give up on that idea. We're not game designers.
No, I really like deep diving into your idea. I think that's a good one. Josh, so that's just kind of what's going on with the game in general. Josh wants to talk about some of the Overwatch League's biggest changes now.
Yeah.
In our new segment called Josh Talks About Some of the Biggest Things going on.
Dude, your creativity.
Yeah, what a title. Thank you. Yeah. What a wonderful segment. Well, last week we missed...
This is a sponsorable segment, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Anyone out there who wants to buy this, this is premium.
If Matt were to be like a professional painter, he'd use like 2 colors.
Yeah,
black and white.
Or maybe gray. I wouldn't even use white.
That's all you wear.
No, anyway. He wouldn't use gray. He'd just like...
blend the black
softer,
and the white.
Softer touch on the black pen or whatever.
Oh, let me get the lighter black.
Don't get as hard pen. Yeah.
Start talking, Josh.
Oh, shut up, bro.
This is your segment.
Last week, we missed the Houston Outlaws news. So a bunch of changes happened to the Outlaws. Mecco got added to the Outlaws.
Whoa, didn't see that one coming.
Rappel as well got added to the Outlaws. They picked up Hureg as a coach.
Wow. Yo, Coach Hureg. Flames trying to get all the good vibes over there. Just give all the good
super
juice.
Super weird. Like
Houston Outlaws.
Oh, actually, it's not that weird thing about it when Harsha...
Harsha's worked with him before. Mm. And Hureg is the kind of player... I mean, he's been on every good team. I wouldn't say he's contributed that much, but he's been on every good
team.
Houston
the next good team?
No, I don't think so. I think Houston...
I think they're good.
Here's the weird thing, though. They now have a lot more challenges. As weird as it sounds, they've made upgrades, enormous upgrades. I mean, Mecco is just an astronomical upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
And Rappel as well, astronomical upgrade. I think they could still do with a support. I mean, Jex is a free agent on the market. Yeah. Go and grab him. But they now have introduced other challenges. Like, they need to be able to integrate these Korean players in. Yeah. Mecco and Rappel have never played on mixed rosters.
I think it'd be super funny. So there's this basketball player called JJ Redick, and he used to play for Philadelphia, and he has a streak of like making playoffs like 11 years in a row.
He's made every year.
And then he got traded to like a really bad team, And like he walked into training like the first day and was just like, guys, I made playoffs 11 years in a row. Don't fuck this up for me. So I love the idea of Hureg just turning up to Houston Outlaws and just like, guys, I'm the most successful Overwatch player of all time. Don't mess up my Liquipedia page.
Yeah.
Do you imagine Hureg goes on? If Hureg goes on to win a championship with the Houston Outlaws, that is the most unlikeliest timeline.
It really
but
is.
It is probably the best of timeline. Like, is Hureg like our Steve Kerr who like wins with Michael Jordan,
no.
becomes a coach, and then just starts like winning titles, you know?
This
obviously we're going down an enormous rabbit hole here of the possibility of the Houston Outlaw.
Who the hell is Steph Curry then?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, like Dante.
Yeah. Are you ready to say Josh at the Outlaws of the next dynasty?
The next dynasty.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I thought you meant the next Soul dynasty.
I think they'll be a playoff team.
I think they should be. I mean, they were two spots away in the first season. And then they were like four spots away, three
and they
spots
had
away
like horrible. What stage they had like a really
they went naught and eight.
Yeah, they went naught
like in the middle of the season. Stage I think two, it was think. Stage two. Yeah.
If they have this roster this year, do they make the playoffs?
I think they should, unless they.
No, I'm saying in the previous season.
Oh,
if they
in
had
the previous
this
season, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think they're a problem.
I think other teams have upgraded though, and also I'm just they're previously. I think they just existed on like some. Yiska made an amazing tweet where he said, contrary to popular belief, the Care Bears would not win the Overwatch the Overwatch League on the power of friendship. But I think the Houston Outlaws were the Care Bears. They were powered by friendship. They just, that roster was poo-poo on paper compared to some of the others in the league, and they still did all right.
They're probably, like, if you looked at their year one and year two results, they're probably one addition away either of those years from being a playoff team.
Yeah, yes. I mean, they made the stage playoffs in year one.
And, now I think, you know, Hydration, I think, is a good pickup. He can fill a lot of different roles. Blase showed a lot of upside at times with Boston.
I still don't get why
you're going to play D.Va.
I just don't get why you have Hydration and Blase on the roster.
I think it can be a bit of a chemistry nightmare as well. I don't see, like... I think you're risking the chemistry, and you haven't really introduced a like mindset or a single leader. And like I'm excited to see how they develop the team, but I'm concerned that you're throwing out like the teamwork and the chemistry kind of aspect for more talent. But you gotta really.
I do think though this year though having extra talent with the travel and everything is going to it's gonna be a big win for somebody.
It's a necessity.
Like, could you imagine for you and say like, oh, Mecco needs to take like a week off or needs a break halfway through the year. Just throw Hydration in like an off tank, right? We've seen him play like Stigma. We've seen him play like Aris. We've seen him play everything, right? Like you have the ability with some of the flexibility of like Blase and Hydration to cover a lot of different holes.
But it's also like what is going to end up happening, and this happens in every sport, in every team, like it happens everywhere. It's just like, okay, you have a few clicks in the team. Yeah. So you're like, okay, Rappel and Hureg will probably sit, you know, next to each other on the plane. And then you'll have like Boink and Raucus next to each other. And then just like, you know, you form clicks. And I'm just worried that there are so many clicks now within the Houston Outlaws that like, hey, if in the middle of the season, you're on like a 6-game losing streak, it's not going too well. You have clicks starting to form and you're like, well, I blame that part of the team. And then you're just like, how do you fix it?
You know? I think that's with any team. I think you get that. But
I just think you're looking at the amount of like different parts of the Houston Outlaws. It's worrying unless it doesn't.
I would say my bigger worry is not the clicks. It's who actually steps up and leads this team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like I think that's more of like you can have like clicks on teams, but as long as there's one person that everybody like kind of looks at that one person, like all right, like that's the guy.
That's why I really want him to pick up Jekse, because the guy has been a shot caller leader, and he and people were looking at him for English speaking teams last year.
Do people respect him to that level? Because he didn't like he was rotating with Toby on Seoul Dynasty. Yeah, I think a lot of people are looking at him and just like. We know he's talented, but like he's just another player. You know?
I mean,
like he doesn't have the respect.
Yeah, he was one of the hottest commodities last offseason. And coming into the league, I thought that he would be excellent. And I think the Seoul Dynasty made so many changes and wanted to hold on to Jaehong and Toby so much that he didn't get an opportunity really to show his
I would actually put pressure on Muma. I think that Muma has a great opportunity to be like a good... like a good friend for everyone in the team and just kind of bond everyone together.
I think
Muma's like a bit of a leader.
Muma's a great like, kind of glue person.
I'm excited.
I think he will hold people together, but he's not a leader.
I'm excited to see how he plays this year. You need glue. They need a lot of glue.
They need a lot.
I think Muma played like pretty sick the first 2 years, considering the scenario with a lot of like
how
the Outlaws were. I think with him and Mecco and some upgrades around the team, I think he could
have it also helped him to not be on the World Cup team this year.
Because
like all players need a bit of a break sometimes, and like the pressure of playing Team USA, I think he deserved that. Everyone was happy, and Muma can just like chill out and improve.
They're one of the team that's grinding though. I mean, I take my dog out for a walk all the time because he's the best little buddy. Every time I go out, I see Rawkus just boost boarding around my neighborhood. I'm like, bro, where are you going? He's like, oh, I had to go run and get a coffee before we start our next block of practice. They're already practicing pretty hard. So
I think Houston Outlaws should pick up one more player from Vancouver, and then we should rename the Houston Outlaws to the Houston Titanfalls. I think that'd be great.
What other big moves do you want to talk about? We didn't talk about any of the Dragon stuff.
Yeah, but also last week we missed Hotbur to the NYXL. So now that Mecco, we know where Mecco went.
Yeah.
We know that NYXL presumably deliberately made this move to get rid of Mecco and add Hotbur to the team. So Hotbur and Bianca. And then they upgraded IMT to the head coach position as well. Did you see the video that they made about him?
No.
So like 2 months ago, maybe even a little more, but I think it was like 2 months ago, they produced this video about their assistant coach, IMT, perfectly well-spoken English, a neuroscientist who dropped his job to do data analytical.
Where are these? Ambox, bro? Where are you finding these people?
Well, you know how they find him? Because the guy watched Overwatch YouTube videos in Korean to like learn the game and thought, oh, I could make those, and just started making his own analytical videos for the Korean community. And then they blew up, and then they were like, oh, this guy's really smart and was previously a data scientist for neuroscience. He's bonkers.
I almost hope
doing
he doesn't
more important
win.
Work now.
I almost hope he doesn't win with the team, because I don't want him to become like delusional. I don't want him to become like Wizard Young 2.0, just like, I'm a neuroscientist. I'm going to feed you milk in the morning for your brain to function the most for this 3:30 game.
You see them all of NYXL eating raw fish just before the game. Get that omega-3.
Omega-3, here's what some amino acids.
What do we think of Mecco to Hotbur?
That's not an upgrade.
I saw you tweet that
might low-key be the best move of the offseason.
So, I was
asking my chat what you were smoking.
I think Mecco's very, very good. I don't know if he had a great year, though.
He slumped a bit.
Yeah, he didn't have a great year.
Yeah, he wasn't that great, but he's still a very capable off-tank. I think the problem with Mecco is that he has one play style.
Who said Hotbur is going to play off-tank? He's going to play Tracer, obviously, and then Xavier V is going to move to off-tank.
I think Hotbur was like, everyone was like, don't sleep on Hotbur. Hotbur's actually good, yada, yada, yada. And now, but to call him an upgrade for Mecco, I think he's a side grade that plays differently.
Okay. Yeah, he plays a bit differently. But I'm looking at the hero pools, and I'm like, I would almost... I think Hotbur might be more like well-rounded than Mecco. I feel comfortable with him in NYXL.
Because
then you don't limit the team as much.
Okay, I would say when you look at how they actually played in the playoffs, Mecco was the better Sigma. Despite all the praise that Hotbur got,
Mecco was a pretty good Sigma.
Hotbur was playing a really weird style and ended up not actually getting... He was farming stats, but didn't end up really having an impact for his team.
Yeah.
And then... On D.Va, okay, if you want to go a more aggressive route, fair enough, try Hotbur, but Mecco is the better D.Va. He plays that defensive style.
Does it give them a better...
It's not that much far apart. Like,
you don't think?
No, and I also like... I
think it gives
just
them
like
a
to give
look,
excuses.
Though.
It does give them a different
I like
look.
To give excuses to Hotbur as well, because he was on the youngest team in the league, the Charge, and that they had just had a weird year, and he came in there and was like the big leader who participated in the 2018 Grand Finals. And so I like to give him excuses. And I like to say that his environment was probably worse than Mecco's. And so I know that it doesn't make him like this all-seeing god. He played for Guangzhou Charge. But just like, I think he was
New Yorkers
a bit of a weird environment.
Hoppa,
I think he's going to flourish in New York.
Yorkers going to love Hoppa. The boy's got swag.
Yeah.
I can't wait to make season projections.
And the great Brendan Hook says, either drip or you drown. And
drip or drown.
Hotbur ain't drowning.
No, I mean, that guy floats.
He is dripping. I mean...
So, okay, they have IMT as their new head coach.
Yep.
They're bringing on Who Are You, apparently, according to Halo
That's
Thoughts.
Like,
They have Bianca and Hotbur now on their roster. Do you think this team does better than Johnny?
I want to say
better than a third place finish this season, and they I think went out in like was it fourth last season or something?
Wait, what's their DPS situation like?
I think though they got five. It would look like Nene, Sabio B, Libero.
They should just have three. Sabio B should be one of the three, and then Libero. And well, I probably cut Flower. Wait, they cut Flower. Yeah, they cut Flower. Wait, who are their five DPS players? Sabio B, Libero, Nene.
Sabio B, Libero,
Pine.
Nene.
Cut Pine.
Okay, all right. So you would instantly cut Pine. The other one is who are you? If he joins, like
if
assuming,
he joins,
yeah, assuming that
frick
report is true.
I
think Sabi Olbi has a hard time standing up against those three, but at the same time, he is, as we know, the leader.
He's
of the team.
Rock of that team.
Yeah, well,
I think you have to have him.
Yeah, it's. I also don't know if.
Look, I think New York. I think New York.
I don't think
win.
Who are you? Well, it's like a Huxel caliber player. Is that controversial to say?
I mean, no, I don't think so.
So I'm just saying, like, if you like, who are you? Are not it's not instantly like a starting spot kind of player.
But it does fit with their more aggressive tendencies, right? Like they have a new head coach that took over for them in the playoffs last year. That when they played more aggressively, so I think his style is probably more aggro than Pavan's was. And then they have Hotba, so they're probably going to play more aggressive anyway. Rather
who
than
are you?
It's
real.
Safe.
I mean, you're gonna
you're just Intin at that
point.
Yeah,
you're gonna be Intin. Yeah.
I think I'm intimidated looking at this roster more than last year's, because the last year I think we looked at them and they were like. People had worries about like them being one-dimensional. Well, everyone predicted them as a winner of last year, right? We made like a prediction article and everyone predicted them as a winner because like, they're just so dominant. But I think they're more well-rounded in 2020 I respect them a bit
The thing that scares you about them going into this year is like last year and even the first year, you knew they were just going to play like a really safe game. They were going to play super like, I don't want to say like tactical, but almost like a very tactical type of game. Where this year they can come in and potentially beat you in the tactical game, or let's say they sign somebody like who are you, and you know you throw him in there and Nene, and you're like, oh well, we'll just fucking brawl it out.
Yeah,
you
now you can just
see what happens.
Well.
Yeah, now you can outmuscle people, and that's I think where you see teams get their scariest is where they can beat you in the mental, and then also throw some freaks out there who can just like dumpster you, right?
We shouldn't really sleep play on the talent on this roster.
Oh, no.
It's an unbelievably talented roster.
Some really sick players on this roster.
Yeah, it's talented.
Top three for sure. Yeah.
I think they win the Atlantic. I mean, I think I said on my
stream. San Francisco Shock, New York Excelsior.
I actually said on my stream, I thought the two teams.
Fusion? Fusion's more talented on paper than this is.
Look, do not. Ooh.
You dare compare Mono and Sado?
You dare compare Hopper and Fury?
Ooh.
They were both the grand finalists of 2018.
Ooh, Josh, why'd you bring that up?
So was Sado. Mono was nowhere to be seen. Mono has never been in a grand final. Sado has.
Shut your mouth. Oh, no. I won't take this. This is absurd. Look, Philadelphia Fusion probably has the better DPS. I don't know if Funny Astro is as good as Anemo. I don't know. Alarm and Jonak is a very interesting.
Yeah, that's a debate that could be had.
So I'm saying, I'll say this: they're pretty even, but I think New York Excelsior is better six times out of ten.
I think the Atlantic will beat Philly and New York. Philly, New York, Atlanta, right?
You sleeping on London?
Yeah,
dude, they're bottom four. I don't care I don't care what anyone says. Like, oh, they're talented young guys, potential.
This show's
they can break out. Just like, no, shut your mouth. Like,
London are bottom four.
Yeah, I think they're bottom four.
Well, who's in the bottom four of them? I mean, Boston, and then you've got Valiant. I mean, they're just like,
who the hell's showing up for the mayhem?
who's
bringing the mayhem?
Well, apparently they're doing big moves. No.
Well, they brought in Yaki and Gangnam Jin, who are both good moves. But apart from that, they've just got
like,
everybody
who the hell
else.
Are these guys?
Look, I work on Overwatch.
tell me two players
I watch
from Overwatch Spitfire's roster. They're not well-known players. They're just like.
Bernard is on that.
Bernard's on there.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I saw that shit on Twitter.
like, I'm not going to be like, I trust so much in London Spitfire's scouting staff that I'm going to, this team is going to skyrocket into a top 10 spot.
Glister is genuinely very, very, very good.
I believe you.
Well, hold on. Now I'm interested who you think the bottom four are going to be.
I think Valiant and Boston have to be down. Like, even though Boston have made some good moves, just what? Who did they just recently pick up? They picked up like
the
Brusen and Munchkin. Brusen,
yeah.
Brusen and Munchkin are the kind of picks where, all right, they might be okay, but the quality of everyone else has gone up so much that that's now putting you in like.
I mean, it's not crazy to say territory. London could find themselves down there.
No, but it seems crazy because. I don't think their team is going to be that bad. And there must be other bad teams.
Yeah, I mean...
I just can't think of
Look, yeah, you have to say that some teams are going to be bad, and I'm willing to say... I mean, we'll get there. Like, we'll make the season predictions in, like, January or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think London Spitfire is probably, like, a bottom five team until they prove us otherwise. You can't just rate them based on, like, potential or based on the reputation of London Spitfire as a reputable org. It's just like, no, you have unproven players... And we're going to judge them accordingly.
I said on my stream, I thought the two teams I felt the best about going into 2020 were the Shock, and then I actually think the Hangzhou Spark. The Spark don't make any crazy changes.
They're consistent good.
They're a very good team. And now I think, like, look, if you find yourself in a Winston meta, I'm okay with having Gusha as my Winston.
Talk about the Hangzhou Spark. Nosemite has joined Paris Eternal. Nosemite.
No Smite. Joined the Paris Eternal.
The great... Nosemite.
Do we think? I think.
Why?
I think Paris Eternal.
They want to make.
And this is gonna sound controversial as well. I'm gonna blow your mind. I think they're a bit of a boom or bust kind of team.
Yeah, no.
Either they're top six or they're like bottom six.
And the problem is, Sparkle doesn't turn 18 until like a third of the way through the season.
Yeah.
So they can't even rely on that. They have to run...
Yo, Nosemite, Soon, and Hip.
The advantage that they have, though, is like, look at all of the teams in the Pacific and how stacked it is. Seoul, now that they have Gesture and Profit, you have Hangzhou, you have the Shock, the Titans, the Gladiators.
Yeah, Gladiators. Dallas have made improvements.
Shanghai.
Yeah,
Dallas. Like, there's
what in the hell a Seoul doing as well?
There's what, like seven teams that are like legit teams.
Yeah,
in the Pacific.
Would you put Seoul Dynasty as legit team?
I mean, what I'm saying.
Well, you get Gesture and Profit.
Gesture and Profit is like top 12.
Right? The rumor is Bidotion's going to go join them as well.
Yeah, that's a report. It's that at that point you've just got London Light and they didn't even do that well this season, so I don't know what the heck's all
about. But Paris playing in the Atlantic, I mean, all the teams that you were mentioning, right? Like London, you don't know. Boston, who knows? I think Houston will be good.
It's very up in the air.
That's the thing. I mean, a lot of the Atlantic teams have actually looked a little better as well.
Toronto looks better.
Like, Toronto looks a lot better.
Philly looks better.
A lot better?
Yeah. A lot better than what they were. They were.
Sure. Yeah, then they were. Yeah. They look better than they were last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they're not lighting the world on fire. They're a fan
team. This is Houston Outlaws 2.0.
Yes, but not
the Canadian Outlaws.
Yeah. This isn't as bad as Houston, though.
What?
This isn't as bad as Houston.
No, but it's like not much higher.
Not much higher?
Well, it's not like...
Oh, wait, what?
No, I'm not like Toronto's not a top five team.
They got Nevix. Nevix over Spree and Coolman?
Yeah, all you talk about
is not a top five team.
No.
Toronto's a middle of the pack, maybe like 8th place, maybe like 9th place.
I think we're also...
I would say like 11th.
I think Atlanta...
Okay, well, yeah, you get my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Atlanta will still be good this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, that's the weird thing as well. We don't know who Atlanta have got.
What do you mean?
Like, Atlanta haven't made almost any announcements, have they? Like, they signed Edison and Sharp.
Yeah, and then Funny Astro is gone. He goes over to Philly.
But are we just assuming...
And then you assume they're bringing everybody else back.
What I love about Atlanta, they just have a brand. They have a great team chemistry. And they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're having fun. A good team.
I think Atlanta had a one-off incredible run this season, and I don't think they're going to replicate it.
What other moves you want to discuss, Joshua?
I can't even remember whether there were any others, actually.
Shanghai?
Tangentially... Oh, yeah. The Shanghai ones were pretty big.
Shanghai's new.
That, I think, is the next big one. I mean,
yeah,
like
that's
Philly,
the biggest one.
Philly
yeah,
signed
yeah.
Hisu as well. I think that's just like a roster filler kind of... announcement.
Shanghai brings in what? Stand One, Void. They added
Lip.
Main support.
Lip and Lige gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lip, I knew nothing about, and Wolf actually tweeted today.
Oh, didn't he play in the Chinese Contenders for a bit?
I don't know. He might have done.
Never mind. Don't listen to me.
What a wolf tweet?
He played on Blossom. He was like a sub player for a contender's career team called right. Blossom. And he only played a couple of maps, and so nobody knows how good he is. And then one of the Australian pros replied to Wolf and said, the guy has just been dominating the Korean ladder as DPS. He's in incredible form. So it seems like
it's... Jonak of DPS?
Yeah, but there are so many top-level DPS in the ladder that and it's so meta-dependent that how do you really, like... No. That can't... You can't put too much weight on that, right? But that's the info as far as I know it. I don't know anything else about
their tank line now?
Who do they even have? I've lost track.
Yeah. I'm lost in the sauce.
Void.
So, Gamsu left.
Gamsu left.
Oh, this is Shanghai Dragons.
Yeah.
Oh.
They pick up Stan 1. They have Void.
Yeah.
Do they still have Envy?
Yeah, I think. I'm going to look it up anyway. It is a very strange team. They picked up, like, Fleta.
Yeah.
Like, this is so strange. The Shanghai Dragons are so odd. Whereas last season, they had the core of the Kongdu Panthera.
They have to be making another move for a tank, like a main tank.
No, well, that believes... How much do they believe in Stan 1?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, he played
how
on
much
an
do
academy.
You believe in Stan 1?
Well, I don't know. He played on an academy team. That's
if this
something.
Team had a legit main tank, would you like it or?
You read the entire roster for me.
Okay, yeah. Here's the entire roster for Shanghai.
Let's go down the roster.
Dia.
Yeah, my boy.
Isn't he on? I think he's on a two-way now.
He is. Oh, yeah, he's on a two-way. Yeah, that guy's getting shipped out. He's just there to sell the jerseys.
He's just there to sell the jerseys. Coca-Cola moments of the game at the end.
The only surviving player of season one as well as the Gregory.
Yep.
No. Wait. What?
Yeah.
Did she get re-signed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fearless is gone.
You gonna drop Gregory?
Yeah.
No, but I thought I
jersey
saw
sales go through the floor.
I thought I saw a tweet or something.
Yeah, her and Dia are the only ones from year one, right? Yeah. Fearless is gone. Yeah. Like,
okay, so let's work at it from the tanks first. So they've got Stand 1, Void, and Envy. Mm-hmm. As well as Gregory. So they now have three off tanks. They have Void, Envy, and Gregory, which is weird to start with, but okay.
Yeah.
Then they have... Currently, only Stand 1 is their main tank. And then they have Lee Jae Gon is the new additional support. I think that guy's incredibly good. I think he's the best main support coming into the league by a long shot. Oh. That guy's really, really talented. Izayaki and Luffy. Izayaki and Luffy are all right.
That's a solid.
Pretty decent.
I mean, you can make a lot of... I mean, either of those guys start on a lot of other teams.
DPS. Yeah. DM, who was phenomenal last season. Ding, who's very good on certain roles, but mostly a specialist. Then Fleta. So
I like
weird.
The DPS.
So weird, though, that you have Fleta, who's like a very good Widow and Pharah, along with DM and Ding.
I think we talked about this, though, because like DM and Ding, like their hero pools, like they're really good at the heroes that they're very good at, but their heroes pools aren't incredibly deep. Fleta just kind of is the jack of all trades that
it's
covers
like,
all the roles.
Would I trust DM in like a Tracer meta?
DM's a nutty Tracer.
Oh, he is?
He actually is,
Well, I didn't get to see it there last season because we had too many...
Yeah, I know. No, but he actually is. He's wild on Tracer.
He's one of the three heroes he's really good at. Like McCree, Widow, and Tracer pretty much.
Well,
like,
you sank my shit.
But it's the main tank, right? Or like it's just the tanks in general.
Yeah.
Like, Void was okay last season, but I think he has more like name value than he does actual value.
Yeah.
And then you have Stand 1 as your only main tank.
They're going to have to add another main tank.
I refuse to give a prediction on this team.
They're going to have to add another main tank.
I don't know what to leave with this team.
I think they have a lot of crazy good talent. I think they just needed an Overwatch League main tank.
They will never be potentially the best team in the world like they were in Stage 3 with this roster, I think. Because
what if they improve at the main tank position?
Oh, maybe. But what I think is more that it was a... miracle. It was like a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
They found something and they found
But now you just told me they upgraded main support. You like their flex supports.
Their flex supports.
You think their
DPS
core is pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's really just the tanks.
It's the tanks, yeah.
Okay.
But in Stage 3, kind of my point is that you didn't really have to rely on the tanks.
You didn't have
to
play a tank.
They were playing triple DPS and just running at people.
Yep.
So
play Pharah, Wrecking Ball, and just run.
Yeah. I don't think you'll never get a meta like that ever again because it's 2-2-2.
Actually,
it's not possible.
Unless they start putting like Wrecking Ball in the DPS slot and stuff. I mean,
still, it would be sick to have a Pharah Widow meta again.
But they would. Fire Widow, wonderful.
I would just stop dreaming about metas, like, because it's so you can't predict it. And we'll never get back.
In an episode we thought was going to be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We How long have we gone for? Very long time.
Yeah. Who knows? Infinitely.
We've been going for a very long time.
What is it, like noon?
Something like that.
I haven't had breakfast. Noon. You want some breakfast?
What is this?
This is Control. It's a meal replacement supplement.
Does it taste good?
Yeah, I think it's really good. I tried a lot of those. So, hashtag ad and all that good stuff. They sent us some stuff.
It smells good.
It smells really good. So all of the meal replacement stuff, usually they're pretty, they're not that good. It tastes good. But this one I actually find pretty good.
It tastes like cold cocoa because you've got the chocolate version.
Yeah.
Yeah, before they sent us the bags, I actually bought one. I bought the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just kind of like, when I'm just playing games for really good.
What does meal
time.
Replacement mean? Because like this just tastes like cocoa. Just told me this was hot chocolate.
It's a lot of. I think there's some vitamins in there, whey protein in there.
Yeah.
It's like supposed to.
It's a good balance. It's not like all sugar. It's like some protein.
It's not just like
fat.
Eating a lot of chocolate and saying that's your meal.
No.
I enjoy it because I'm like, I'm streaming for 6 hours and I have one and I think it's pretty good. I try like Soylent. I try Jimmy Joy coffee. Did you just have all of it?
It was
nice. Did you just have all of it?
It was quite nice.
What did you?
I didn't have breakfast, Johnny.
What did you make it with?
Anyway, they sent us. I sent it with water because he hates coffee. No, but I didn't I didn't make it.
I make it with almond milk.
Anyway, so they sent us that. So I just want to be clear about
thanks,
that.
Thanks, guys, on Control.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
But I don't know how we end this episode. Usually, we ask Bren a question. That he doesn't want to talk about.
Wait, let me come up with something. I want to end this really good. I don't want to be lazy. I want to end it in a really good. Funny way. I'm trying to come up with something.
Cut his mic, Kurt. End the show.
Matt, do you want to talk about League of Legends?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, let's keep it going.
Yeah. Let's keep talking about League of Legends, Johnny.
Oh, no. 10 more minutes of this. No.
Why aren't you playing with us?
Yeah.
Because I'm a hardworking man. I hustle. I do a lot of stuff, Sideshow. I don't have time to play games.
What?
I'm out here.
You're streaming.
Just stream. Yeah.
I'm
just
streaming Overwatch.
Just
I got some
stop
other
streaming
side
Overwatch
work.
And start streaming League.
No, I got some side work going on. It's
the
like
craziest thing. So Johnny,
stuff
so,
I can't talk
so with
about
the, with the computer, right? So if you minimize the Battle.net app for a second, right? You go on like a Google Chrome or any of those. You can go to other websites, right? And there are games out there that you can play as well.
Oh, that's wild.
And you can stream them too. It's crazy,
That's crazy.
Right?
I streamed RuneScape yesterday.
Yeah, I wanted to play and you didn't tell me.
Do you want to play today?
No, because you're like level 3
or something.
Can we
talk about the Sekiro race real quick?
No, anyway. look, at least I'm pretty
that's
happy.
That's how we should end it.
I'm pretty happy
about the Sekiro race.
I'm pretty happy because at least all three of us show up. Bren, do you want to talk about RuneScape?